Please stand and face the back. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us bow our heads. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem, with palms in their hands, gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King. And when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Palm Sunday Gospel reading harmonized from the four Gospels. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a donkey tied and a young colt with her, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying them, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying those animals?" They said, "The Lord has need of them." And they let them go. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So they brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on them. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Peace in heaven. Hosanna in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "We are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace. A privilege that is part of our worship way too infrequently, but we thank our children for being a part of today's service. Welcome to everybody. Please let us know that you were here today. There's some cards in the racks in front of you, the Faith Fellowship cards. For both our members and our guests, please fill those out for us. We want to remember in our prayers for today, Mr. Bob Shirkus. He was hospitalized this week, was in very serious condition. He is in the hospice facility right now on Rowan Road. His health has stabilized quite a bit. Until they can find a different placement for him, right now that is where he is at. So we remember him in our prayers, as well as Lorraine Christopher, who is continuing to go through some real health challenges. And so in the midst of God's people today, we continue in our service on page 5 in our service folders or up on the screen. Friends, as you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. The stone that the builders rejected. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Blessed Lord, who always comes among your people for good.
We confess to you that we are born sinful, and both by nature and choice, we have turned away from you. We have enthroned self-interest and pride as our kings, and they have ruled us as tyrants. We have failed to acknowledge your rightful lordship in our lives and in society. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, turn our hearts this day to worship and follow Jesus, the one true King. Friends, the King has indeed won your freedom. Almighty God has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together after a moment of silence. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Zechariah, verse 9. The prophet foretells of the humble king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second lesson comes from Epistle, Philippians, verse 2. Humbled to death on a cross that we might be exalted with him. St. Paul writes, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old through the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Because of the length of this morning's gospel lesson, I'm going to ask that you remain seated. Now, my friends, the true gospel, the holy gospel, according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in an insurrection in the city, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. So Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in mock homage to him. And when they had mocked him further, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. He was carrying his own cross, but they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross instead. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled that says he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he had breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Friends, one of the things that we find ourselves in the middle of here on this Palm Sunday is this little thing that I think I've talked about a time or two before called March Madness. And it's a unique time of year because it brings in people that ordinarily wouldn't have much interest in the sport of basketball. But March Madness is one of these that it brings in teams that, and the one of the teams here from our state until last night was actually doing quite well. But it every year it sets up this list of brackets. And there's a certain fascination with trying to fill out those brackets and see who's actually going to end up in the last few games. As I said, people that really aren't all that interested in basketball love to fill out those brackets every single year. The other thing that happens with March Madness is that the teams, maybe they have their home gym, but nobody plays these games now on their home gym. And when you go into these arenas, it's just going to happen. No matter who the two teams are, you're going to have people maybe on one side who are going to be cheering the one team and the people on the other side who are going to be cheering the other team. Now, for the most part, the fans of the one team, maybe I hadn't seen this growing up, but you'll start to see as like teams are coming out of timeouts, you'll see the players trying to pump up the crowds, doing things like this. But for the most part, when it comes to what's going on with the other team, you usually don't see them do things like boo and jeer and throw catcalls. Only people that ever get that are the officials, and having been a basketball official for a number of years, I can attest to that. But still, you're going to have the people on one side who are going to cheer one thing, but will do anything but cheer when it's time for the other side to cheer. Actually, this is nothing new. Centuries ago, what people would do for entertainment is they would put together a concert, and it would feature two musical composers, usually from different countries, that would come in, and they had composed, and they were going to share what they had written. And since it's from two different countries, there would be the crowd for the one composer on one side, and for the other composer, then usually on the other side. And unlike the people in most of the basketball arenas, they had no problem making as much noise of booing and whatever else that they could do, of whistling and whatever else, for the person that came from the country they didn't like. Well, that's kind of where Jesus was this morning, finding himself perfectly between two crowds. One, a crowd that seemed really, really excited to see him. And another crowd that was yelling and on the verge of starting a riot to see him be put on the cross. Now, if you're given a choice, And we have one group of people that, shall we say, kind of likes us and what we do, and one that absolutely doesn't. You would think that the smart thing to do would be to kind of nuzzle up to the people that actually like you. But Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus knew that the only path that was going to mean salvation, both for those who were cheering for him and those who were screaming for his crucifixion, their only hope was that he moved away from those that cheer and began to go after those who would boo him. It's not that there was anything wrong with the people that were cheering him. I mean, you heard this morning, these people, they were excited. Now, maybe they didn't fully understand. I have no doubt that more than a few of those people that were cheering Jesus were convinced. Here it is. He's finally coming into Jerusalem. Yes, he's going to be coronated as king. He's going to set up his eternal kingdom starting today. And we'll deal with getting the rest of those people out of the way of the leadership positions here shortly. They really thought that's what Jesus was going to do. And lo and behold, what happens? People get themselves to the point where it's like, well, this person's not supposed to die. So there was always confusion. And it was no different than the confusion of Jesus would be very popular, and he'd have a lot of people hanging around him when he was feeding 5,000 people with nothing more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But when it came time for him to start talking about actually being the bread of life, those that were cheering him, those crowds would begin to thin. And it even said in Scripture that many of those people went back to their old life and wouldn't be following him around anymore. But no matter how dedicated the people may have been, who seemed to be supporting him, who were excited to see him coming down the Mount of Olives headed for Jerusalem on a donkey, those that wanted to see him crucified were resolute. Even during the time as Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was that short time where they said, we're just wasting our time. Look, the whole world has gone after him. And would I love to proclaim this morning. They were right. The whole world has gone after Jesus. But they haven't, had they? They didn't then. They haven't now. And yet, Jesus came also for each and every one of them. So that by the time Jesus ends up being arrested, brought before Pontius Pilate, eventually sentenced to death and flogged and whatever else was going to happen to him, yes, those people were there to the very end. You heard them sneering and mocking him as though if Jesus actually came down from the cross, they were going to start believing in him. No. No matter what, that wasn't going to happen. And I guess I'm almost grateful that when our Savior finally gave up his life, there's no mention of the fact that those who were enemies were there giving a round of applause. Maybe they even wanted to. For sure, they thought that they had just won the great victory. He was out of the way for good. But just maybe, there should have been somebody that understood what the perfect script was here. Probably not one of Jesus' enemies, but somebody should have been there. Wait. He said this was going to happen. He predicted over and over again, look, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested, turned over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. There should have been somebody that was there to start a celebration far greater than a basketball player that had just made a last-second shot to get his team into the Final Four. Because for Jesus' friends and Jesus' enemies, this was their salvation. This was, for them, the pathway to heaven. This was for all of them, giving them a map to heaven that they were never going to be able to find on their own. And as people today seem utterly directionless, maybe as they're doing some traveling from out of state, but certainly as they're trying to find the way of life, and they're looking anywhere but to the Savior that gave his life up on the cross for each of us. By the time Jesus died, it seemed that there was hardly anybody that would have been considered the supporter of Jesus. Oh, we hear about the women that were out at a distance. We know that there was one disciple, John, who was at the foot of the cross with the mother of Jesus. We're not told about any of the other disciples. Who knows? They may have been hiding someplace. We just can't know. But even though there was hardly anybody there, and even when Jesus died, and here comes some faithful people we had not heard about before, like Joseph of Arimathea, who comes and asks for the body of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. And the women that came to see where he was laid and then went to prepare spices. It is doubtful that any of them really understood what was going to be in the script, because they probably were thinking that they were carrying out faithful service, kind of in a postlude to what was a great life, but a tragic life that had come to an end. But apparently, they did not know. The last chapter had not been written yet. And in terms of our salvation, while in one sense the last chapter has been written, no, the book is still being crafted for each and every one of our lives. And the one thing we can know for sure is that he who died on the cross has opened the way to the kingdom of heaven, so that when your life's chapter, when the story of your life finally does come to an end, there's going to be a lot of cheering, a lot of singing, a lot of praise for each of us as we are received into the Lord's arms in the eternity of heaven. But nobody understood that then, and they needed to. And we need to as well. We understand now what the cross really means, but the cross only was waiting for an even greater chapter. And so on behalf of people that even after Jesus was dead, were still trying to take steps to make sure that they could be proven right, that this Jesus was a nothing and ended up being wrong. For the supporters that were being faithful but utterly clueless what was about to take place. For the disciples who heard time and time again what Jesus had said was going to take place. For all of us who know what the will of God is in our lives, but still gladly, willingly, sadly, almost tragically, walk away from it when he is the only way to our salvation. My friends, the script that everybody thought was supposed to be written, that was not the perfect script at all. The perfect script is still being written. Friends, your salvation and life story is yet to be continued. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As we confess our faith today, we do so to the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed and its meaning. That's on the in our service folder at the bottom of page 9 and the top of page 10, or you may follow along on the screen. Please stand as we confess together. What is the second article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For ourselves and all the baptized who gather around the cross and altar this holy week, that we may receive grace to follow you through your passion, we cry to you for help, saying, for the rulers of the world, each appointed by the one true King, that they may defend the powerless and rule wisely, so that we and all people may live in peace, we cry to you for help, saying, for your eternal reign over us, that is not according to our human devising and perceptions, but it is according to your good and gracious will, that you shape our attitude to be like yours, living a life of humility and obedience. We cry to you for help, saying, for bringing the ministry of healing into our midst, according to your will, even as you brought comfort and healing throughout your earthly ministry, granting healing, comfort, and faith to those who are sick, facing sadness, loss of a loved one, loneliness, separation from family, or any other malady of heart, body, soul, and mind, we now lift up before you, Lord, someone in our own lives that is in need of the help and strength that comes from you that we name before you in a moment of silence. We cry to you for help, saying, Hosanna, crucified King. For your death on Calvary's cross and what it means for our lives today, that you bring the comfort of assurance of the resurrection to new life for all who continue to follow you along the pilgrim path, that in this veil of tears we find solace and strength in the eternal victory won for us on the cross, we cry to you for help, saying, for Christ, who is our Passover Lamb, who has been sacrificed, that by his death he has redeemed us now from the bondage of sin and death, that we may keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death, drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. For into your hands, O crucified King, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love, which endures forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, as you give us your body and blood to eat and to drink, lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment, for you live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 12, the closing prayer. Please stand as we pray together. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, who of your tender love for us gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon himself, to earth to endure death on the cross for our redemption, and to give us the promise of life everlasting. We pray you to send us now to invite and help others to sing their hosannas and to follow him, our Savior and Lord, to the cross and to life everlasting. In his name we pray. Amen. One final time before Easter, receive the benediction of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.